time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, 1 2 1 2. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes, yes. We are back. Democracy is still alive. Look at that. We are back and in a celebratory mood. Wow.
That's where we at with it.
That's what we are, bro. The suspense was killing me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I think they got a few more tricks before this is over, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to see. Pull a coup off.
Yeah, it's good to see the Electoral College results, you know what I mean?
Right.
But he still got a few tricks, I think, they'll pull. He still ain't made no concession speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I saw a video of Van Jones talking about basically, you know, the probability, and this was actually well before this whole thing. It was just more like a theory type of thing, but it's been getting mm-hmm. circulated. Well, basically, like the theory of, you know, when the president doesn't concede, they often setting up a coup, mm-hmm. and due to some loophole that's going on within, you know, the politic realm or the political realm. The Constitution. Yeah, I think it's in the Constitution. Something amongst with the Constitution. Or maybe not even. I'm paraphrasing, but I think Constitution mm-hmm. has something to do with it. But either way, there's a way that the president could but effectively override the popular vote and the Electoral College vote. Mm-hmm. Stage a coup and then wind up staying the president. That right. shit can't happen, and I don't think it will happen. But I mean, damn, desperate times calls for desperate measures for your boy, I guess.
I mean, you know, those theories are floating because well before the election, Trump had already started talking about, you know, you know, if they try to steal the election.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. So I mean, he's had this. Narrative going even before the election. And I'm not a politics person, so I can't tell you, I can't help you on the clauses mm-hmm. and the, you know what I'm saying, amendments and all that. But I have, you know, heard Trump, you know, state before that he wouldn't back down if they tried to steal the election, which meant, you know, if he lost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, now he's been on record saying he don't believe in a peaceful transition of power. You know, so I mean, he just popped his shit for a while. This is not unexpected at all.
So that's why people are looking like, well, damn, can he do that? And you know, there are a few steps, but he can. I guess they'll do the first step as far as fighting it legally first in the mm-hmm. in the courts. And then I guess if he's going to take it to that high court that we don't know about, then I guess they'll figure that out.
Yeah, it'll be all right. We'll see. I don't think that's going to get pulled off, but you know.
Right, but you know, it's fun to watch everybody be exuberant and you know, let that dark cloud, you know, move away from over the United States.
Man. It was celebratory. I mean, it was lit. I mean, literally, as soon as the news broke on the TV, I'm hearing people outside banging pots, hitting the bell, cheering. So then I go outside. The block is crazy. Oh, man. Yeah, it was something, man. What I'll tell you about myself, though, I went out there, had, you know, I joined in little festivities, took a few pictures, a little bit of a video. Soaked up the camaraderie, but about maybe an hour later, I was dead tired because I feel like there's been a level of like bracing yourself. I don't know how long it's been, but I've been bracing myself for some bullshit definitely throughout this entire election cycle. So I was poised for disappointment. You know what I'm saying? Hope for the best, expect the worst type of shit. And it does a lot. It did a lot to a motherfucker. Like, after that adrenaline wore off, I was tired as a motherfucker. I was like, woo! Like, shit, I felt like I ran across the country. But, yeah, how'd you celebrate? How was the news received where you were?
I didn't celebrate. But, you know, people did celebrate here in Atlanta. I mean, you know, it was the same thing. People in the streets partying down, you know, then their block parties, you know. You know, there's a lot going on, but I wasn't in it. I didn't celebrate. I don't celebrate things like that. And not because I wasn't unhappy with Trump or whatever, but you know what I'm saying? These celebrations always end with some sobering reality. Like you say, after the adrenaline wear off, then it's like, okay, now what are we left with? You know what I'm saying? Again, you know, not to talk politics or nothing, but, you know, I wasn't super gung-ho about our choices, but, you know, we had to make some choices. You know what I mean? I did the right thing versus, I mean, versus what we had in office. But, you know what I'm saying? Let's see what the fuck is going to happen. Like, what are we doing? And I'm not doing it. I'm not saying this because of Biden, because I did the same thing and said the same thing when Obama got in office. You know what I'm saying? Everybody was very celebratory and like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I was like, well, shit, what is he going to do? You know what I'm saying? And what? How y'all going to feel when he started having to kill motherfuckers and shit? Like, why would Obama kill people? Because that's the job. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, we at war right now. You know what I'm saying? And ultimately, Obama did, you know, bring in a few bodies. You know what I'm saying? Some brown bodies from the Middle East.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, he had the drone game popping, all that shit. You know what I mean? But that doesn't stain his record because, again, like I said, that's a job that every president had to do. I'm just looking at it from more of a stoic point of view, I guess. Like, well, shit, he just another motherfucker got to do this motherfucker job. So, you know what I'm saying? All this partying, getting down. Maybe that's why I ain't get invited to the Obama parties.
Tonight. Right. We don't need that stoicism right this moment. We'll hit you a little later after the first 100 days.
Celebratory. But what the fuck? What they gonna do? You know what I mean? You know, we riding and they, you know, black people going hard, black women going extra hard.
Right.
What are they gonna do in the way of the people that went hard? What are they gonna, you know, Georgia going hard right now to try to lock the Senate, you know what I mean? With the runoffs. So, you know, if they do become successful and they do pull off, you know, turning the Senate and the House, whatever, blue, what does that mean for the people that's in the trenches? You know?
Yeah. You know though?
I be looking at that while, you know what I'm saying, while the champagne be popping. I be sitting in the corner like,
How's this shit really going to affect me? I dig it. And I hear you on that.
I'm like that cat on the team, on the championship team that was on the trading block right before. You know what I'm saying? And they win the chip and you be everybody popping them bottles and you like, how's this shit finna affect me?
Right. You still don't trust the owners.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I dig it. I hear you. I hear that. Speaking of politics and expounding and all that, I think we're going maybe next week or very soon, you know, we need to have our political correspondent, Cameron Trimble, in here. You know, he definitely played a part in a lot of what just happened, what transpired. Yeah,
no doubt. And
he said he wants to talk about a little bit of it, give us some insight. So, you know, we're going to have him in here at some point.
All right, bet. You know what I'm saying? I would love that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because then we could get down, I could ask some of the questions that I have.
Right. Nah, that's what's up. So what's good? What's good with you otherwise, man? Since you ain't celebrating this, what you out here doing in the world?
Hey, man, I'm not walking around with the stiff upper lip. You know what I'm saying? I'm chilling, man. I had a great weekend. You know what I mean? You know, my family's here, and we all in the A, experiencing it together, as you know, for a minute at least. So, you know what I'm saying? It's that whole thing of, could we live here? You know what I'm saying? You know, when you're in a place and you're doing all right, that question begins to surface itself. You know what I'm saying? And if we did, how would it be? What neighborhood? You know what I'm saying? What kind of house? You know what I mean? All those types of questions. Right. So, I mean, those things are popping off. That's what's in my zeitgeist right now.
Yeah, what's your consideration percentage? Where you at with it?
As far as moving here?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's a lot. I got a lot of scrutiny on that, just like I do with everything else. Nah, it's a lot of things that will have to happen before that became a serious, you know what I'm saying, consideration.
Gotcha.
Well, you know, one already, I mean, is one, you know, she, you know, her, my wife's brother died, so it's like, you know, my mama's here by herself. So that's, you know what I'm saying, right. Top of the, you know what I mean? So that's already what's bringing the conversation to the forefront. But, you know what I'm saying, as far as how this workflow goes, I would have to definitely secure a few more bags in the, you know what I'm saying, that would keep me on the ground here, you know what I'm saying, and make it more appealing than New York. Because New York, you could secure bags all the time. I mean, it's just a good secure the bag kind of town, you know what I'm saying? It's a good walk in the building, walk out with something. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
On a global level or national level or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's easy. It's easier, per se. It's harder, life. But it's, you know, as far as finding something to do is a little, it seems to be easier. Mm-hmm. So I would have to get into that to that type of flow out here in order to make those kind of decisions. You know what I'm saying? Until then, you know, it could be the back and forth. I don't mind. I love being here. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, finding that workflow and finding the bags that are allocated to you is first and foremost of utmost importance.
Gotcha. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, now have you found yourself? I know you've been, you know, focused on what you've been focused on, but have you started to gain some momentum in the in the bag hunt down there? Not the bag hunt, because I don't make it sound like it's so targeted, but like, is it some of that energy coming your way?
No, I mean, most definitely the energy is definitely floating in that direction. I've had some great meetings and stuff. And where I'm at, you know what I'm saying, just spiritually within myself as a person, I'm finding a lot more success in communicating my ideas and presenting them. And presenting myself in a situation or at a table. So, you know what I'm saying? Where before you could find it hard to get an idea across, now it's feeling easier to get an idea across, and it's easier to get the attention of the people you're selling to. So, you know what I'm saying? And it's all within, like, you know, the work that I've done on my inner self it shows itself when you're actually sitting across from someone else, you know what I'm saying? And whereas before, you think you're doing it, you think you are, you know what I'm saying? You've had success doing this. You think you got it in the right pocket. But again, when you fighting yourself on the inside, you don't know. It's an invisible enemy. You know what I mean? It's an invisible strings that hold you back when you pitching or when you trying to get the idea across. So now, when you kind of got that out of the way and you're not fighting yourself and you're sitting at a table and you fully just presenting your idea, you're not doing nothing extra. You're not doing nothing more. But seems like your ideas are hitting a lot harder. Like, oh, okay, this motherfucker. Okay, all right. You know what I'm saying? And then the results are a lot different. So, you know what I'm saying? It's just doing more and putting yourself in a situation more to really find the places where you need to do something. And from what I'm gathering, it's not always, you know what I'm saying, what you can get out of a city. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's what you can bring to the city. And that's more where I'm at right now is, all right, I need to find that thing that I'm bringing and adding to the equation. Because before my point of view was, okay, what can I get out of this? What can I get out of these streets? Now it's, okay, what can I bring? Because that's a bigger opportunity.
Right. Have you kind of narrowed down or figured out what you're bringing, or is it still kind of being developed? Or do you even want to speak on that? I don't know if that's
Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's almost secret sauce, but I can't say it's fully developed. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I'm throwing different stuff, you know, in the pot. The pot is, you know what I'm saying, the pot cooking, it's smelling good. You know, you bringing the vapor up into your nose, you know what I'm saying? You waving it up through the pot, up to your face. And it's like, oh, it's smelling good. Okay, all right. You know what I'm saying? But I haven't put it to the taste test yet.
Okay. All right. That's what's up. That's what's up. I like that analogy. That's you good
could,
shit.
You could tell a nigga from Miami when he be super vague and shit. Miami niggas never, they never are straightforward about what the fuck is going on, ever.
Vague but colorful. it's colorfully vague. You know, you got the pot. You cooking it up. The shit smell good. You know what I mean? Niggas like, I don't know if that was the answer.
Yeah, the Miami nigga. Hey, man, what time you going to be over here? Oh, man, shit, I'll be over there in a minute, man. You know what I'm saying? Where you at? I'm down the street around the corner, man. That shit. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm at the house.
Nigga, all right, man, I'm going to holler back. Nigga, hang up. You be like, this nigga ain't said a motherfucking thing. But we had a whole conversation. That's Miami people.
Yeah. No, I feel that. That's funny, talking about cooking in the pot. I just read today, food vapors can give you lung cancer.
What?
Certain food vapors. Yeah, like certain shit. Obviously, you don't really fry bacon, so that's not going to be nothing for you. But certain meat, like when you fry the meat, there's a thing that there's a reaction between, you know, the muscle tissue, you know, basically being cooked down, and it gets in the air, or if you're about to fry anything, you know what I'm saying? If you're about to fry anything, make sure you ventilate. You know what I'm saying? Just because the oil burning, even before the smoke point, has shit in there, like carcinogens in there that go into your lungs. Like they say that, you get a higher rate of lung cancer, like if you live next to like a Chinese food restaurant or like a barbecue spot or whatever. Like you should be there no more than 2 days a week inhaling that type of shit. It's pretty fucking crazy to hear that. I'm reading this book called How Not to Die.
Dang.
It's all about, it's basically about eating, you know, just about basically going plant based. You know what I'm saying? You know the plant based contingent definitely hit you with the aggressive factoids to scare your ass.
That's crazy.
But a lot of this shit is starting to really ring true. And they talking about, you know, going plant based is like, that's the dietary equivalent of quitting smoking. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, basically this book just breaks down like various diseases that are diet based. So it goes through like how not to die from heart disease, how not to die from lung disease. That's where I got that information from. How not to die from diabetes and blah, 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 blah. I just got into the diabetes section. So I'm still, there's still some shit to go. But it's been enlightening. A lot of this stuff you kind of already know. Mm-hmm. It's just really so much about discipline. That I did not know. I didn't know about, you know, because to your point, that would be my shit. You know what I mean? There's plenty of times where I came in the kitchen and I'm inhaling all types of carcinogens like, that shit is amazing. little do you know, you're killing yourself.
Oh, man.
But yeah, man. So, yeah, but I'm checking that out, man. I'm trying to get on my plant-based shit. I went out grocery shopping today. I didn't buy any meat, surprisingly. This is the first time in a long time. Not a long time, but, you know, it's been kind of, I've been, you know, weaning off for a bit. But this is the first time I went up in the whole shit and bought, I ain't even go to the meat department. I bought this was funny to me. This is interesting. I bought some golden crust beef patties that were made with Beyond Burger meat. You know, first of all, golden crust frozen beef patties, I mean, it is what it is. But with the Beyond Burger, I was like, let me try this shit. Let me see what it's about. I had one today. It was I still, again, a lot of that shit tastes like science. But I'm definitely heavy on my green game. You know, I've been kaling it. I've been juicing for a minute, but like I'm trying to really diversify these vegetable moves. I've been making mushrooms a little bit. That's kind of new to my palate. You know what I mean? Like I never was a super big mushroom kind of fan. Getting in my squash, cooking up collard greens with no smoked turkey, none of that type of shit. Just, you know, we talked about it, a gentrified green. You know what I mean? Like, just really trying to build the palate up for this type of shit. And, you know, it's just, I'm looking at it as an investment. You know what I'm saying? Like, just, you know, just trying to do the most, trying to make this shit work out, you know.
No, it's definitely an investment, definitely, and preventative maintenance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But yeah, you talk about the smoke and the smell.
Ain't that some shit?
Man, I'm going to tell you like this. My grandma lived in Browns Sub, which is basically Brownsville, Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And on the corner of 46th Street and 27th Avenue, there was a pit barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Prince's Pit Barbecue. And it had a very distinctive smoky smell. And the whole motherfucking neighborhood smelled like that. As soon as you hit Prince's, you knew you was in Brown Sub. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, damn, like all the way from 27th to 29th. My grandma lived on 43rd and 29th. And you could still smell it.
Yeah.
So it's like, damn, like I actually, you know what I'm saying? It's like, shit, we if that's the case, then that whole little community probably need to go get their lungs checked.
Right. That would be a good what do you call it? That would be a good sample population. Just to see what's cracking.
Cause for years that shit, I mean, they, you know how, like say Popeyes, they got the little shit wafting out. Burger King. You can smell it for a couple blocks. Like Prince's Barbecue, man, that smoke used to be aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Very. Like, I don't know how many.
It was like smog.
Yeah, I don't know how many grills they had going, but the smoke coming out of that joint was aggressive. You know what I'm saying? And the only way you knew it wasn't a fire was because you could smell the wood. It was a very, I don't know what kind of wood they used, but it was very distinctive. Hickory smelling wood that they used. And it could, I mean, for some, it could smell beautiful. You know what I'm saying? I never ate there because they did mostly all pork. So, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't nowhere that I went, but that smell, it hits you as soon as you hit the hood.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just wild. It's wild. Yeah, certain smells are, you know, again, like I told you, there are certain smells that make you breathe in deeper, you know? Little do you know. That shit is wild.
Maybe
shit,
them Park Slope people had something. They was on to something.
Oh, what was going on in the Park Slope? Shutting down the grills?
Yeah, they had a whole group of people wanting to shut down the grills because, you know, the black people from the other side of the park would come get all the grills early in the morning because that's how New York do. You know what I'm saying? They stake the grills out, send a representative for 6 o'clock in the morning to lay on the grill so they could have a party. And so if you a regular commoner just waking up on a regular Saturday, get your jog in, get your coffee, then you want to go to the grill by 11 o'clock, you're done. It's dead. By the time you get there, there's a whole West Indian party going on. You know what I'm saying? So they wanted to pass a thing to take the grills out because their argument was that, you know, the grill smoke has carcinogens. You know what I'm saying? But it was kind of like, it was kind of taken like, okay, they just mad because they can't get no grills. And they just mad because the people are migrating to that side because that's where the grills are.
Mm-hmm. Now they got science-based hate.
Yeah, they got science.
Motherfuckers hit your ass with a trial study to back up that bullshit. And the shit is fact-based.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, man. So, you know, maybe I had a point. I don't know.
Look at that.
But still, niggas still getting the grills.
Of course, got to get up early than a motherfucker, too. Ain't that some shit?
Send little Johnny, he ain't got no job. Then get your ass up and go sit on that grill.
That's his job. That is his job. Yeah.
Always a representative out there solo, 6 in the morning, just sitting on the grill.
Mm-hmm. I never was into that. Never was into the community park grill. I see it. I just don't trust the grates. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could put some foil on it maybe, or you can clean the shit off, whatever. But I prefer, if I'm going to go to the park, I might have to just bring my own little grill out there.
Which is illegal.
Yeah. I don't know if they let you do that anymore.
That ain't even
You can't even come through with your own little Weber?
Mm-mm.
You can't bring your own? Nah.
I mean, you know, there are people that do it, but then where you going to dump them coals?
Oh, shit. They can only even think about that until it's time to think about right. it. And he's like, well, fuck it, it ain't my fault.
Right.
And there's a patch of grass going.
Yeah. Keep it moving.
Yeah, he'll be like, all right, get out of here. Let's be out.
You know what I'm saying? You leave, shit. Then the motherfucking forest fire pop off.
Ain't that some shit? What's going on? What else is popping with you, man?
Oh, man, what's popping, man? Shit, man, ain't, you know, not that much. You know what I'm saying? Again, I'm just out here experimenting with my new self on my new timeline and shit. You know what I'm saying? Putting myself in different places. Oh, did I tell you I got my suits?
You said they were on the way.
Oh, man, I ain't tell y'all about my suits. So
okay, so they touched down?
Yeah, my suits touched down maybe about 2-3 weeks ago. But I didn't break them out. I haven't broke them out in a while. You know what I'm saying? I wore one to my brother-in-law's funeral, which that didn't count because that wasn't.
Oh, you did say that. You did say that. Yeah, it didn't count.
And then I wore one to a little private function. You know what I'm saying? But that was people I knew. It's just a small little group of people, like four, you know, 8 people tops. You know
they listening now like, damn, nigga, you ain't going to count that as one of the suit appearances?
Nah. I can't count that as a suit appearance. I mean, it worked. And, you know, they were like, oh, shit, you clean. But it was people I knew. I ain't tested in the real world. You know what I'm saying? Where the motherfucking, where it happens, where it counts.
Shit. So they were like, okay.
And it was after we did the cast. So this was Wednesday, last week, Wednesday. Gotcha. You know what I'm saying? I just decided, okay, it's a fucking Wednesday. I just finished my work, went in the crib. I'm going to put on one of these suits and go just, you know what I'm saying, post up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Get a little something to eat and, you know, see what happens. You know what I'm saying? So I put on, and I put on the one that was more louder than the rest. You know what I'm saying? That's like probably one that I wouldn't have normally purchased because the way I did it was I told them some basics that I need. Like I need some core business shits. And then I let him do. Like two of them that's just, you know, on some slick style shit because that's what they do.
Some creative license.
Yeah, some creative license. Yeah. So we did four suits. Two I requested, two he put together.
This is Martha's Vineyard?
This is Terry Corbett, who was on the show, Cashmere Connoisseur or something like that, whatever episode that was. Where he, you know what I'm saying, he was talking a lot of shit.
You can't sit here.
Anyway, he put together the palette, and this was the one that was more standoutish that I wouldn't have normally put out my own stuff. I'm more subdued on some real low key shit. It's not loud like no pimp shit, but it's just like a blue that I wouldn't have worn, a more colorful hue.
Like an electric blue? What we going with it? What's the blue? Let's talk about it.
It's royalish, but it's like a royal check. So it's not like a royal blue. It's like, you know, it got like little gray lines in it and shit like that.
Okay.
So it's tough. You know what I'm saying? I put up a picture and shit. So so I'm like, fuck it, it's Wednesday. I got these suits in the closet. What the fuck is, you know what I'm saying, stopping me from just putting one on and going out in the world? Nothing.
Right.
All right. So I put one on. Put my shoes on. Ah, we clean. You know what I'm saying? Roll over to the Buckhead Village and, you know what I'm saying, roll into one of the spots and you know, sit at the... It's empty, of course, because, you know, the COVID and shit. But still a good test.
Right.
Roll in, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you know, everybody's cordial, boom, put you right to
You ain't go to Umi Sushi, did you?
Nah, I was at Le Colonial first. Okay. I hit a few spots. So at Le Colonial.
Tour.
I went to Le Colonial first, you know what I'm saying? Sat at the bar. And what I noticed the difference was here was that, because it was empty, it wasn't not a whole lot of people there. I'm only one at the bar. And so what I noticed difference was the attention from the bartender. Usually at the bar, well, you know, be like, okay, what you want to drink? All right, you get your drink, then you know what I'm saying? You need a menu or something? Yeah, I need a menu, whatever. But in this case, you know what I'm saying, the menu was automatic. You know what I'm saying? Mm. The drink came, it was done up, you know what I'm saying, fully presented. And then It was the run through of the menu, the suggestions. You might want to try this and you might want to try that. Now, see, that type of shit don't usually happen to me. You know what I'm saying? Well, on a regular basis. Okay, all right. You know what I'm saying? All right, give me on, go ahead. Give me, you know what I'm saying? Whoop, whoop. Right. So then, you know what I'm saying? I'm finishing up. Hey, man, you know, if you're still hungry, you know, you might want to try this. This ain't really on the menu, but, yeah, you can run that too. You know what I'm saying? So that was interesting. So I was like, okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? I finish up, I pay my bill, tip them nice, and then I, you know, pop my collar and I dip out.
Right.
So I roll to, I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I should probably go over here to the St. Regis. You know what I'm saying? A lot of fly people be up in the St. Regis.
Mm-hmm. So, let's test this shit.
Yeah. So I pull up the valet, St. Regis. They come, you know what I'm saying, get my shit, jump in, walk in. Boom, they got a little velvet rope up at the bar. You know what I'm saying? Uh-uh. And usually.
At the bar.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
As shit.
So I'm like, you know what I'm saying? It's not crowded or nothing. There ain't no whole lot of people in here at all. It's like, you know what I'm saying, pretty, you know what I'm saying, spacious. So, but you know. In your normal self, you know what I'm saying? You see the velvet rope, you're like, ah, shit, here they going, they bullshit. But
you evaluate your whole fit.
Right, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But in my new self, I roll up, poop, 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 I got on the chick. Well, I ain't even had to stop at the rope because the rope was open before I got there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, okay, scroll in, woo, woo. You know what I'm saying? You can sit the body on the table. Oh, I'm going to sit over here at the table. All right, cool, sit at the table. And, you know, here they come. More shit, more options that ain't on the menu. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, shit.
Secret menus and shit.
It's like,
open it up.
Okay, it's a whole nother world.
The like, suit menu.
Yeah.
I like this shit.
This is like, this is cool. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, all right, ain't nothing changed. I'm still the same motherfucker. But the reaction is different because I got on, I call it a costume. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I got on a different costume.
Okay.
So, all right, cool. Leave out to go get, you know what I'm saying, get my shit from the valet. You know what I'm saying?
What's on the secret menu for the cats that don't, man, they never get privy to this? Let them know a little bit. What's on the secret menu?
Hey, man.
Oh, soup confidentiality?
No, it wasn't the soup out. It's just I wasn't paying attention. I just said, go ahead, bring it on. You know what I'm saying?
He's playing it close to the vest.
Nah, it ain't even that. It ain't playing close to the suit. I'm just saying, you put me on the spot, and I really don't remember because, you know, mind you. I'm, you know what I'm saying, I'm at my second spot.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I know at the Le Colonial, what ain't on the menu is the snapper.
Okay.
The snapper ain't on the menu, right?
That.
But it's a whole old presentation. You know what I'm saying?
They always say the suit brings out the snapper. Anyway, that's what they've been saying for years and years.
I never heard that. But go ahead, keep going. That's a slick one. And it was a snapper. But anyway, at the St. Regis, it was just some appetizer shit that I don't even remember because, you know, it was a little bit already, you know what I mean? But we don't want to say all that because I'm about to tell my valet jump back in the car story. But anyway.
Okay, go ahead with this. I like that. My valet jumped back in the car store. I like this shit. It's a good.
So I'm like, you know, I go get the valet, you know what I'm saying? They see me, they jump, you know, whoop, whoop, whoop. And they, you know, they go get the car, you know what I'm saying? You know, my car, it's an 86, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they're like, man, what year is this car? Like, man, it's 86, man. This shit is clean, man. How much you charge me to, you know what I'm saying, to buy it from you? I'm like, you can't buy this from me, man. You got to go get your own. You know what I'm saying?
So now, I like that.
So then I jump in.
Don't know my brother.
And then I jump in. You know, I'm only going right around the corner. But I forget. I had to go buy my son something to eat for dinner. So I'm like, fuck. So now it's a spot right across from the building. So I'm like, all right, I'll just go there. So I go in there with the suit. And this spot is a little more, it's a little more casual urban. You know what I'm saying? It's like one of them kind of like spots. So I can't say it's a stunner spot, but it's just one of them spots that a lot of social people go to. You know what I'm saying? A lot of whips, a lot of, you know what I'm saying? A
lot of chains.
Yeah, pocketbooks and high heels. You know what I'm saying? Gotcha. It's called sauce. You know what I'm saying? And you see, I see a lot of like the Atlanta promoters around there, so I don't know who involved. It just seemed like, you know what I'm saying, a spot. It's a situation. Mm-hmm. So I go in this house. You know what I'm saying? And ain't nobody in there right now. You know what I'm saying? And so, but I come in with the whoop whoop, and then, you know, again, it's very attentive. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say it's because of the sauce, because of the soup. Maybe it's just because that's how they do business. But again, I ain't used to that kind of attention. You know what I'm saying? I'm used to coming in and have to, you know, look for a motherfucker. Hey.
So tell me, what's the attention you getting that you're not used to? Let's give a little bit more detail. What's going on at Sauce now?
At Sauce, you know what I'm saying, from the dough, it's like, hey, how you doing? You know what I'm saying? You can sit right here. I mean, it's regular shit. I'm telling you, it ain't nothing that is no out of this world shit. It's regular stuff. It's just when you're not presenting in a certain way, they don't give it to you with a certain kind of energy. And
no,
I've had great service before. You know what I'm saying? I had attentive service, but it's just a certain energy to it that's more, what they call that shit when you got to put an intent on it. It had more intent on it, like from the dope.
Okay.
It's like, okay, let me grab my menus before you motherfucker even start to sit down. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Motherfuckers already on their way with the menus, you know? And then who they come with the menu. And again, they got suggestions and shit. Well, if you're getting that, then you want to, you know what I'm saying? And again, I done been to a lot of places. I done made a lot of orders. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, most times, they take your order and they keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? They might have a suggestion or two from the rip as they do when they come up. Yo, we got this. And you know what I'm saying? We got specials for the night, blah, blah, blah. And then you say, all right, boom, I want this. You know? And then it's like, okay, cool, you know? But in this scenario, it's like, hey, you know what I'm saying? I want this guy. Oh, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you might want to put the boom, boom, put. It's just a little more energy to it. A lot more energy, actually. Mm-hmm, and so, you know what I'm saying? We go through that, boom, boom, we get the food, go back in. You know, with Sauce Dough, you know, it was kind of like, it was very pricey. It was very pricey for what it was, but, you know.
Dang. What was it? I ordered scallops
and I ordered some pasta, but like the scallops was like, it was very pricey to not come with even a piece of spinach or nothing. But, you know,
a naked scallop.
It was a naked scallop for goddamn about $30. You know what I'm saying?
How much? About $40.
About $30 for a naked scallop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nah, that ain't, you know what I mean? Yeah. It ain't a problem, but you know, I mean, it was noticeable.
I like to let it, baby, be clear. I wasn't fucked up about it, but I mean, I did recognize the inflation.
I did notice the inflation.
Shit, my boat was still floating, but just know,
right. You know what I'm saying? Like the inflation didn't match the ambiance. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like a piece of it's posing as a pizza joint, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's got the inflation. You know what I mean? Probably because it got the, you know what I'm saying, the high profile, you know what I'm saying, at ATL stars coming through. Like, you know what I mean? So it's probably one of those places. I'm just not up to what it is, actually.
They hit you with the place to be tax.
Yeah, it was the place to be tax. Yeah. That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
So, boom, I went in. And, you know what I'm saying, and then I had to take account of all what happened. And, again, these are very incremental moves. But to me, they were very big because it was happening to me. You know what I'm saying? As I'm retelling it, it's not no big things that happen, but it's very small things that allow me to see how I can maneuver in different ways in different spaces. You know what I'm saying? Without you know what I'm saying, holding myself back. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in this whole process of dealing with myself, I'm learning a few things as far as, you know, how to move in the space. Not things that are brand new, not things that I didn't know, but maybe things that I seen and I knew, but I didn't apply them to myself, you know?
Like what? Let's get vulnerable.
Okay, vulnerable. Okay, it's like my relationship with the $100 bill. You know what I'm saying? Mm. That was the first lesson. You know what I'm saying? You come in, you know what I'm saying? You get to the restaurant, you got your people in town. They like, hey, man, we close in 2 hours and it's a 3 hour wait. So ain't nothing happening. You know what I'm saying? My first response wasn't to think, hey, maybe I get this motherfucker $100 bill. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't my first response. But then my cousin who I was with was like, hey, man, who can we talk to? I'm like, man, I'm sure you can talk to, you know what I'm saying? Talk to this motherfucker right here. Woo, woo, $100 bill. Hey, y'all must be trying to eat right now. Yeah, we trying to eat right. Okay, let me see what I could. No, he corrected himself. Not let me see what I can do. Let me see what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? So when we went away, came back. All right, what I'm going to do is seat y'all right here. You know what I'm saying? Blah, blah, blah. And that was that. And I'm like, damn, why did I ain't think of that? You know what I'm saying? I was kind of down on myself because that didn't even cross my mind to bribe the dude at the dope. You know?
Right.
And so you start to realize certain things that when you start talking about these glass walls and the opportunities that's behind them, that you're in the room, but you can't get through the wall. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not using some of the tools that it take to get on the other side of the wall where they understand these tools. So the $100 bill, my relationship with the $100 bill was definitely the first lesson. So now if you put that with your whole dress game and then, you know, your pull up game and the $100 bill, you might be in business.
$100 bill is a key card.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right
so,
through.
Yeah. So those are like just little incremental lessons that, you know, again, you knew these lessons. You know what I'm saying? You've seen them.
Right.
Again, you may have done them. But are you really applying them to yourself and your life? Right. Or maybe you're just doing them once. Maybe just for this or maybe just for that. But when you start looking around, then you're like, damn. All right, this is what's happening. These are the people that's in play. Shit, maybe if I pass out a few 20s around, this motherfucker shit might change. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then niggas start looking at you differently.
Yeah. And how you feel about it is different.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the game. It's part of the budget.
It is.
It ain't even like doing a whole lot or tricking or whatever, like whatever way you could kind of undermine your effort. It's just part of the game. It's just what you do. It's just part of your what do you call that? Yeah, you know, your artillery or whatever. Not your artillery. Your repertoire is not that
your
either.
Poor,
but, you know.
Your poor, your artillery, your
all of that.
All that.
Yeah.
The thing about it, man, is that sometimes you buying that peace of mind and that just comfortability of you got what you wanted to do done. Even though if you came early, you could have got the same thing accomplished for free. But you didn't come early. You ain't even know you was coming to this spot till 15 minutes ago. Now you here. You know what I'm saying? But if you didn't do it, then now not only are you not getting in the spot, now you got to find another spot. You're already hungry. Then you get to the next spot. Then it's going to be a whole nother wait. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what you shit, that little hundred started to pay for itself after a while in inconvenience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And that's how you look at it. And that's how you look at it because it's more than a $100 bill. To your point before, you said these glass walls, it's your mental. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when you start looking at shit differently, then you like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, you start looking at it. You start looking at everything that it unlocks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about that $100 bill transaction. Mm-mm. That's just part of the day.
Right.
That's just part of the day. It was written.
Right.
We having a good time. We don't want to wait. We want to enjoy ourselves. We want to keep the party going.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
And now it wasn't just you. It's your whole party. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. It's 6 people. Now you've created peace of mind for 6 people.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You know it's a different way of looking at shit. And then, you know, I was glad I learned the lesson. And I was like, I immediately learned it because I'm like, damn, dog, why I ain't even think of that shit?
Yeah.
Tripping.
And, you know, Give us another one. One more. What else have you noticed?
Oh man, you know, oh the bands, the clean.
Okay.
Clean is
feather brush.
Clean is currency. You know what I'm saying? Clean is full-on currency because people treat you how they perceive it to be. You know what I'm saying? When you come through and your shit is clean, motherfuckers wash your car with care. They treat your car with care. They add a little more service to your situation. Your valet is moving a little faster. You know what I'm saying? Right. They hopping out with a little more exuberance. Like, hey man, how you doing? Who is you? What is this all? You know what I'm saying? Clean is a whole currency, and it could be applied to everything. It's just like somebody that you know that got the clean fade on their haircut. Their car is super clean. Their clothes are super clean. And then it's almost OCD. You know what I'm saying? Their jewelry is shiny. You know what I'm saying? And see, in the, you know, the artist, Brooklyn artist shit, it's a more matte finish. You know what I'm saying? Your hair is a little more, you know what I'm saying, nappy and more organic around the edges. And you know what I'm saying? You got on black and a little army green. You know what I'm saying?
Like I said, organic around the edges. That is the most polite hairline slander of all time.
I'm talking about myself.
No, I know, but it is still what it is. Oh shit, that is funny as shit. That's like a publicist like appealing to her broke client. Like, you know what the thing is with how you present. You know what I mean? But no, that shit is hilarious. Organic around the edges. I totally understand what you're saying. That shit is funny as hell though.
You know, that shit is, you know what I'm saying? Like that's that aesthetic. It's cool for a certain purpose. You know what I'm saying? It's cool in a certain realm. It's cool because then people start to respect just what your thoughts is and your ideas and your, you know what I'm saying, your concepts as opposed to your look and your aesthetic and the clothes that you're wearing. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's a realer vibe sometimes. But when you're in real life, sometimes you need to cut through the motherfucking noise and you need to cut through it fast. So you need to speak directly to the language that the masses speak. You know what I'm saying? Because them people outside of Brooklyn, them people don't care about that Brooklyn aesthetic. You know what I'm saying? They might think you cool, but hey, man, that's a line. You know what I'm saying? This VIP shit is reserved for these niggas with these diamond chains and these, you know what I'm saying, luxury backpacks and, you know what I'm saying, all that, these big fat bottom shoes and shit. You know?
Right.
Niggas with these $100 bills, where they at? You know what I mean? Niggas who really is keeping this economy, you know, propped up right now in this pandemic. Right, you know what I'm saying? Because if you go on the Neiman Marcus, man, and only people spending money in that motherfucker is the skinny jean wearing, you know what I'm saying? Backpack having on. I'm out here for the bag ass type niggas. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. But to be clear, Brooklyn does respect the haircut as well. Just to
I know. I'm just saying. No, I'm talking about the artist community. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The contingent. Yeah,
but we ain't Brooklyn ain't all the way known for it like Queens. And you know what I'm saying? Yeah, Uptown got their own little swag, how they do shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Queens is known for a wave and a Nas cut. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A Nas fade.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So niggas always brushing the back of your neck with the little brushing some hair off the back of your neck at any time in Queens.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They got the crisp hairlines. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just saying the aesthetic of like the artist community mostly of Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Like even coming there in the Shea Butters and Dead Prez and that whole little mob and you know what I'm talking about.
The Fort Greene contingent, the Brooklyn Moon Cafe, the crowd.
I ain't making a gross generalization and saying
No. We just
and Brooklyn ain't got no barbershops.
That's some shit. A barbershop grows in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Oh man, no, I got you.
Shit.
Nigga. Oh man. That's funny though. Yeah. That's good. This is good. Good.
So you know, those are just little life lessons I'm learning. I guess I'm a late bloomer. You know what I mean?
I hear that. Oh shit, man.
What's good with you?
Man, I'm chilling, man. I'm out here staying alive, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm out here.
And that's actually your shit, nigga. They almost got the vaccine, so niggas got to stay alive.
But it feel like it's a little too quick to the market. Like I don't, I fuck with this type of shit, like an iPhone update. I want to see what the glitches are first. I'm not going to be in that first or second or third wave of that vaccine. I might not even fuck with the vaccine. I might let a few other motherfuckers get vaccinated and flatten the curve for me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But
right, no doubt. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, okay, the vaccine is on the horizon. No, you don't want to be the crash test dummy on it, of course. You know what I'm saying? Black people have a long standing, you know what I'm saying, suspicion of the medical community when it comes to experimental shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Tuskegee experiment, you know what I mean? So, so no, you know, I'm not, definitely not suggesting you run out and go get it. What I'm suggesting is that, hey, now that this vaccine is on the horizon, maybe, just maybe, whatever this pandemic thing is, can be kind of tapered off. And,
right.
Well, you know what I'm saying? What you don't want to do is die before it tapers off. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, right? Ain't that a bitch?
You want to hold like, on.
he was right there in the cusp.
You know what I'm saying?
If the nigga had lasted two more weeks, he'd have been well.
You know what I'm saying?
No. Go ahead.
That's just how I feel about like some of the people that I know that have died. Like, damn, man, if they could have held on 6-7 more months, you know what I'm saying? You know?
Right.
Because it's like,
well, you know, go ahead.
Like my first dude who died, it was like he caught it too early. You know what I'm saying? They ain't know. You know what I mean? They ain't know you shouldn't really be on the ventilator too long and shit. But he caught it too early. But go ahead.
Nah. Well, couple things to that point. It's almost like, and we're gonna get back to the death shit, but it's almost like now it seems like Biden might be pulling some strings to where $50,000 of your student loans will be forgiven, like just with the swipe of a wand. Meanwhile, I paid my whole shit off about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty fucking penny, and I could have used that wand. You know what I mean? I wish, had I known this shit, I'd have deferred the fuck out of that baby. Because I was living in a deferred life for years. Had I had a crystal ball, nigga, I'd have, nigga. Oh, shit. But anyway.
First of all, he got to do that shit. And if he do,
oh, man,
I'd be happy. Cause I ain't got no student loans, but I got some student loans on my son. Shit,
nigga, I might go back to school. Fuck that shit, just for the fuck of it, nigga. Go get me a master's just cause them shits is cheap now. They on sale. That nigga come through with a PhD just cause the shit was under retail.
Nigga, I got $50,000 off that motherfucker PhD, boy.
Hell yeah, nigga. Fuck that. I'll be right back in there. One of them old students that be respecting the fuck out of the course load. You know, when you a young nigga and you see them older motherfuckers in there, they don't have no time and no patience for none of this shenanigans you doing, all of this bullshit. But anyway, back to death. So, reason I'm saying all this shit, I mean, obviously I'm a hypochondriac in the first place. It's COVID shit, obviously flared that shit up to the tilt. But and I almost didn't want to speak on this shit.
Mm-hmm.
A nigga tried to kill me the other day on Twitter.
Mm.
Some nigga, I'm not even going to shout him out, but so I guess this is right after Alex Trebek died. Rest in peace, Alex Trebek.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Rest in peace, King Von. And you know, I'm not sure who else died, but somebody probably died as well. But you know, so they tweeted, they didn't at me, but they tweeted, you know, anytime I think about, yo, what happened to such and such, they die like a few years later. So sorry, Damian Lemon said, "What, nigga? I see this shit, nigga."
No man, wait, was he? Did he say you was? He thought about you and you next, or that you was already gone?
It felt like a hex. It felt like a hex. I didn't appreciate shit at all. You know what I'm saying? I ain't appreciate the shit at all, nigga. You know that shit is that shit strikes a lot of fear. It's like that shit caught a nigga right where it hurt. You know, legacy and mortality. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, oh shit. I was like, for a minute, I wanted to clap back, but I ain't want to retweet that bullshit in the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But the shit had a nigga hot. I'm not even going to lie. And that's why I don't even want to talk about it, because the shit had a nigga hot. You know what I'm saying? So the motherfucker hear this shit, he like, ha-ha! You know what I mean? But, man, I was like, yo, first of all, it made a nigga put an exclamation point on his living.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to live. Now, I've never been a nigga to live out of spite, but you got to live with, like, just put some more purpose in your shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man, the shit fucked me up. Fucked me up a little bit.
So what did you do?
What you mean what I did?
Did you reply? Did you just reply? You ain't say nothing to him in the DMs or nothing?
Nah, as a rule, and this feels more egregious, but as a rule, like, that type of shit, I file that under sucker shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you know what? This is, you know, and it, like, typically when that type of shit come out, I don't like to give it no 10. That's why I'm even like, wow, that I'm even speaking this much on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, and I don't even, you know what I mean? What, and I thought about all of that shit. What I'm going to say? Should it be some witty shit? Should I, you know what I mean? Da-da-da-da-da, whatever. Like, this shit had me tight. You know what I'm saying? Because, nigga, I'm not going to lie, through this COVID shit, nigga, I live alone. You know what I'm saying? These niggas I know that, to your point, have died. You know what I'm saying? I'm out here trying not to eat meat no more. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, I feel like pun. I'm trying to live. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm like, that's a sensitive ass subject. Not that I'm fucked up or no shit like that, but shit, nigga. But nah, I didn't speak to it because it was. But at the same time, I did think, maybe this, well, one, I think maybe it's the universe, you know what I'm saying? Saying, nigga, do some shit.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think it could be low-key karma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I said, Alex Trebek died.
Mm-hmm.
And Regis Philbin died this year. Those are two tough losses for me. Two white folks that I fucked with. Two, you know, hosts that I was big on. I was a big Regis Philbin fan. I don't even think we really eulogized him here on the pod, but I always fuck with Regis Philbin. Regis Philbin was one of the few cats that made me want to be in a relationship, because he used to come on Regis and Kathy Lee,
mm-hmm.
and talk about him and his wife Joy, what they had done the night before and the dinners they had went to, and they'd just seen this person, and me and Joy, we did this, and it was just him and his lady. Like, that was his best friend. They's out in the world getting to it.
But not to interrupt you, man, but shit, man, I ain't know Regis died, but go ahead.
Oh shit. Yeah, man, he died. So he died, then Alex died. Now he was going through it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I had said, this was limited to a group chat. I said, and I didn't wish death. I was like, yo, the Regis and the Alex Trebek death, that shit really affected me. You know what I'm saying? I really fucked with them. I said, now I'm not really wishing nothing bad. I don't want nothing bad to happen to Pat Sajak, but I wasn't really a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, maybe I get what I deserve type shit. I was like, but I ain't wish death on that nigga or supposed death on the nigga. Every nigga gonna die at some point. But more so than anything, I don't want a nigga, like, I don't want a motherfucker being right. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to give a nigga the satisfaction.
No doubt, you gotta prove him wrong.
Nigga, you could only, I mean, there's probably a lot of niggas that's dead trying to prove some shit wrong.
That nigga ain't got the key.
He ain't got that. But anyway, so that shit, I ain't gonna lie, that shit kinda fucked with me a little bit. I ain't never just I ain't never really had no Twitter hacks just come out from the random ether like that before in my life. That shit fucked with me. I was like, I don't like this shit, nigga. There needs to be a Twitter hack support group for this type of shit, nigga. I was sick, nigga. I was not fucking, you know, man. Listen. Anyway. Oh shit, man. And shout out, yeah, crazy. Man. Yeah. So it is what it is. I'm still here. This is a, you know,
people just be fucking having diarrhea brain, you know what I'm saying?
I thought it, I wrote it, I tagged the nigga. You know. Yeah. You said what?
He just probably like, I thought it, I wrote it, I tagged the nigga.
He ain't tagged me. He ain't at you.
No. He just said Damian Lemon.
Just put my name out there. Yeah, I saw it because...
Yeah, I filed that on Sucker Shit, too.
Yeah, you know.
If you're going to hex me, at me, nigga.
Right. But don't hex me, nigga. I don't like that. I don't appreciate that. I don't wish death on people. I think that's a little too far. You know what I'm saying? And I'm really trying to think about it. Like, even with Donald Trump, I got close. There's times where I thought about it. You know, everybody done had the thought. You know what I'm saying? Many people. I don't say everybody, but a lot of motherfuckers done had the thought. You know, but I was like... Nah, I'm not. That's not good for your spirit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know. But anyway, yeah, man. I had to speak to.
Yeah, man.
I had to get that off my chest, man. Right. Oh shit! Yeah. Shout out to Nadine Graham, because that's how I found out about it. She replied to the cat like, "He's all right. He's quarantining heavy."
Motherfucker, she should have called him old puss ass nigga.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, it is what it is. I appreciate the people.
No doubt.
Man. Anyway, shit. Speaking of living life, I've been on the couch watching a show. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but there's a show called Game of Thrones.
No doubt.
Pretty fucking good. I don't know if you're familiar, but
I vaguely recall a show called Game of Thrones.
Okay,
HBO, right?
HBO, yeah. Pay cable premium. You know, sauce. I'm in the seventh season now. Mm-hmm. I just want to run through a little some of my thoughts about it. So some thoughts and some shout outs.
Mm-hmm.
I fuck with Lady Mormont. I fuck with Lady Mormont, little 10-year-old
little gangsta boo.
What'd you call her?
Little gangsta boo.
Little gangsta boo. Yeah, she ain't got no tolerance for none of the bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, listen, she running that motherfucking. She's running shit at 10. That shit was hard. I like Olenna Tyrell. You know, absolutely. Rest in peace, Diana Rigg. She died. I don't know if you know that, because I know you didn't know Regis passed.
Right. But, I knew Lady Olenna passed. I did know that.
Yeah. But she.
Now, where you at in the story with her?
Huh?
Where you at in the story with her?
Oh, I'm at the point where she's dead in the story.
Oh, okay. Now. She's dead in the story, too. Yeah, because, you know what I'm saying? It was a big thing because she died on the show. I didn't know if you had known that yet. But,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I'm in the second episode, I believe, of the seventh season.
Mm-hmm.
So I just liked her. She always had some slick shit to say.
She sees it. Right. She know what's going on.
Yeah. She's one of them that see through all the bullshit. Don't got no time for none of that shit. I fuck with her. Brandon Stark reminds me of Jaden Smith. A little bit.
Yeah.
Like they got like similar vibes. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like real otherworldly type of you know what I mean? I seen some shit that you ain't really seen, visions type shit.
Yeah, you just need a grill.
Yeah. I fuck with Sir Bronn. Sir Bronn's real funny. You know what I mean? Just, you know, the good old sidekick, hold you down type of cat.
Gangster for hire. He's like
gangster,
Joe Pesci.
Wild gangster. You said what?
He like Joe Pesci and Goodfellas, that type of character.
Yeah, he like to mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely definitely got me looking at wine a little bit more, wanting me to get my wine back on. These niggas be throwing back some wine to you, like it's like they lighting up blunts the way they be throwing wine back.
Wine Speaking is water of, in the Game of Thrones.
Oh man, that shit is like water. Yeah, it's water, water. Yo, speaking of wine, I picked up the Snoop Dogg wine. I think I told you about this a while ago. I copped the, I think it's called 19 Crimes, Snoop Dogg, Cali Red, which is a little confusing being that Snoop was probably the most famous Crip I know. But he got a red wine, a red blend. That shit is pretty good. That shit is pretty good. So
did you do the virtual reality thing?
Oh, where you scan the bottle?
Yeah.
Probably. I didn't scan the bottle. I might still have the bottle. I should scan the bottle and see what's
what.
Yeah,
scan the bottle, and then they talk about the 19 crimes.
Oh, look at that shit.
That's the whole point.
I think it does have something. I'm going to scan it.
We had it on the show. We had it on the show.
Okay.
Shout out to Julissa. She did a thing called Hollywood and Vine, where Hollywood and Wine, where they talked about the celebrity wines. They had a sommelier, and I wish I knew his name, but I can't recall it at this very second. But if you go to Central Ave on YouTube, you can find it, Hollywood and Wine. And they talked about it. And around the office, everybody, like one of the editors, he got a bottle of it, and he was telling us about the augmented reality with the 19 crimes. So,
I'm going to check it out. I'm going to check that out, man. Yeah, I've actually caught a bit of Central Ave, man. I've been catching up with it on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
I've been fucking with it. I seen the Lori Loughlin story. I seen Van of the People. Is it Van of the People or is it
Van of the House?
Van of the House. Yeah, yeah, I seen
that's
that.
One of my segments I produce.
Look at that. Yeah. I seen that.
Shout out to Van Lathan.
Yeah. Shout out to Van.
Not Van Jones.
Nothing now. I'm crying. I don't like all that sob. I'm tired of seeing
not all that mistaken MJB for Beyonce.
Oh yeah, that was crazy. That was a little. He jumped out the way. That was such a black offense. Yeah. And he already kind of on the line recently.
With your black ass.
Yeah, nigga, you shoot that. Ooh, whoo, that shit was a. That was a party foul. It was tough. I will say this, though. It ain't really the most recognizable Mary record, but once you hear Mary's voice, you know Mary's voice.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Because I heard about where he fucked up, and then I went and watched the video. And I was like, oh, I can see. But I wouldn't have jumped out. It felt powerful. It was a powerful sounding record, so I could assume maybe he was so in the moment, you know, whatever. I don't even want to keep
He probably didn't. He probably heard it, didn't pay no attention, don't know what was what, and just you know,
Shazammed it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, don't do that.
He probably knew it was Beyonce, but you know, in his mind, probably jumped straight to Mary J.
Right. You vice versa. You mean he knew it was Mary J.
Right, he knew it was Mary J. But it jumped straight to Beyonce or whatever.
Right. Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? Faux pas.
Yeah. You know, that's what happened when you're talking on TV for a long time. I done made some mistakes on the pod.
Go on, say some shit. And you know better. You don't even realize.
Niggas flame you up. You be like, I'll be back next week.
Right, motherfucker.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, man. That ain't mean no harm. I'm just talking out the side of my neck.
Shit, I might be a little drunk.
And I might be a little drunk.
You know, I might have some wine, man. Another thing about Game of Thrones, just something that made me think, the ravens. Like, when they send a raven, now, is that a euphemism, or are they really sending real ravens? And if so...
You ain't see them birds flying? They really send the birds.
So, but how...
You don't see when they put the little thing in the bird, and the bird fly off?
I've seen it in pop culture,
that's what they do on the Thrones. You weren't paying attention. Yeah, they actually put the note on the raven, and the ravens fly off with the note, and then they deliver it.
I know, but my thing is, how do they know to go to, do they know to go to Highgarden versus going to Black or Castle Black? Like, who, and how do they know to go to Littlefinger as opposed to going, yo, I need this one to go to Sansa? Like, that is.
Well, they drop it off at the estate, and then it, you know what I'm saying, it's supposed to go straight to whoever it's supposed to go to.
Gotcha,
so the head, the Meister of the house, is the one who accept the Ravens. And then he takes it to whoever it's supposed to go to with the seal unbroken. They always come with a seal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And which don't mean shit, which we found out a little later.
Yeah, a little later. But you know what I'm saying? If it got the seal on it, then you know it's, you know it hasn't been read. And if it's been read, then it should be off of somebody's head. But anyway, so the Maester is responsible for the Ravens and the acceptance of the Ravens. So in order to, I always wonder, because you know, homing pigeons and shit like that, they do that. So,
right, no, yeah.
So it's, we need to have like Mike Tyson on here to tell us how the fuck, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Do they train the pigeons to fucking fly to a certain place and come back?
Right. Make sure they got it. Make sure they made that, you know, made it happen.
That was an art. And, you know what I'm saying? I think they trained those birds to do certain things in those days. I mean, you know, of course, this is TV, but they really had homing pigeons and shit. So they probably had all kind of birds doing shit.
Yeah, back in the day, shit, they had to. They didn't have technology. That was technology. So they demanded something out there. Just like the motherfuckers that got to guard that grill early in the morning. Sometimes you got to give a motherfucker a task.
Right.
And you just hope they pull it off.
Right.
I will say this. We breaking into season 7, right? And it's not a whole, it's starting to feel, starting to feel a little formulaic, a bit silly at times. Mm-hmm. It's starting to feel less HBO, more ABC. Like it's starting to get a little softer. Like even like the shots are a lot brighter. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's some moments that are just a little sillier than they were before. Like where Masandai. Was it Masandi? Was it Melisandre? Like when she jumped off with Grey Worm, right? So then she's walking with Danny, and she's like, "Yeah, you know, we did many things." And Danny give her the look like, "Ooh, girl, what?" You know what I mean? But it's like that shit just felt a little too gossipy for what, you know what I mean?
Well,
Mother of Dragons was about. I mean, that's a homie, but it just felt like it was written. I'm going to give you another example.
Before you move to another example, I just wanted to point out that the Mother of Dragons always been kind of in the gossipy mode with the, you know what I'm saying, with the caretakers and stuff. That's how she got caught up and got, you know what I'm saying, my man fucked, Dragon fucked up, you know what I'm saying? Call Drago.
Dothraki?
Yeah, that's how she got him fucked up. Listening to these, you know what I'm saying? The workers and shit. Trying to be, you know.
What'd she do? Break it down. What was that?
You don't remember? Well, Call Drago had got into the fight fucking because somebody had insulted her. And he let the nigga put his whole sword in him. Like, yeah, nigga, that ain't shit. And then he went ahead and dusted him off.
Right.
But then he had to cut. And then, so the cut was getting infected and shit. So she went and talked to the people who she had captured, who they had took over their whole shit, killed their whole
village. Black magic, right?
Yeah, and then so she around here listening to the black magic lady call her and let her tell me what to do. And then the lady put the black magic on his ass and fucked up. But that's, you know what I'm saying? That's because she was like, you know, she wanted to be in touch with the people and, you know what I'm saying? And talk and all the ladies, because, you know, the ladies taught her how to do it so she could make Khal Drogo fall in love with her and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So she been in that little mix of gossipy type of things with the ladies and listening to it, and that was one of her things. So she always kept somebody close to that she could do that. Like Melisandre was somebody that, she was her boss, but then sometimes she'll slip into the old, like you say, the little gossipy thing, and be like, why is she doing that? But Melisandre was the only one left.
Right. And that's her connection to the streets.
Right.
She's so, still, you know what I'm saying? You know, yeah. Because she came up through the streets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. So, I give you that. But then there's moments where it's like, okay, like some of the little sexual tension is bugging out. Like, first of all, Jorah, all he wants is a kiss. His man Jorah is coming back, pulled the scabs off, back in the mix. All he want, he be so ready to get a little
skin
kiss.
Ass nigga.
You said, what you call it? The crocodile
skin ass nigga. Keep it moving. Kick rocks.
Oh man, damn. Okay, hold on. I'm like, okay, the way that you just wear the drawer, that might pre-tell some shit going on in the future.
No, I didn't. Nicky, you already, he already got the skin disease. You already know that.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
that was it. Right. I ain't saying nothing.
Okay, cool. But you know, Jorah went that. The fact that all of a sudden the dragon is all cool with Jon Snow, or nuzzling up to Jon Snow, the dragon damn near was like, "You treat her well, all right?" I'm like, come on now. What is going on? This shit is starting to turn into some old ABC drama.
Nah, that's part of the story, dog.
I got it. But it just feels a little brighter than it has been. But, you know, I'm still in it. I'm still fucking with it. I'm still enjoying this shit. My man Clegane, I fuck with him. Arya, bad than a motherfucker. We didn't talk about it. She didn't came out the fire. She fucking up Brianna Tart. Like, it's shit good, man. I'm still in it. I noticed now that they've kind of, these last two seasons, these niggas then hit us with the double space. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like just 7 eps here and 6 eps here. Like, it ain't a full 10 no more. These niggas been hit us with
It's a little short. It's coming short right now.
Yeah, a little lazy essays. But, you know, I'm all in, man. I'm fucking with it. I know the ending is very polarizing, but I'm
season 7, though, you know what I'm saying? You legit.
Okay.
8,
okay.
They not with George R.R. Martin. They run out of R.R. Martin material. Right. So now they out there on their own, you know what I'm saying? Freelancing.
That is just in the writer's room.
Yeah, they just freelancing and shit. And they them niggas had got a new job, so I feel like they was just being lazy on the thrones, and then they got fired from the new job. So you know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying
that ain't had nothing to do with the thrones. It was another show that they were supposed to be doing, and it felt like they were like rushing through the thrones to get to that show. But then they ended up getting fired off that show.
Ain't that some shit? Yeah, you can't. Gotta remember. What they say? Don't leave who you came to the party with.
You know what I'm saying? Don't bite the hand that feeds you, nigga.
Absolutely, nigga. You got here because you was with the thrones.
Heard that.
Last thought. Well, not last thought, but a quick thought. This is still pending. I don't know if it's really going to go down. So there's talks that there's a pending versus with Outkast versus Tribe Called Quest. Outside of the fact that Pfeiffer is gone and it'll feel a bit incomplete, you know what I mean? Just as far as everybody being present, that's a good one. That's one of them ones where I'm like, I'm excited about that one. That's a good competitive situation too. You know, what's your thoughts?
It's feel good. You know what I'm saying? It's a nice little vibe. You know what I mean? I love Quest. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they got enough firepower, but you know what I'm saying? It's only 20 songs, so everybody got 20. You know what I'm saying?
They don't got enough firepower
for Outkast, nigga.
They got 20 joints now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They got 20 joints, but you know what I'm saying? In the grand scheme of things, I'm just saying.
I think I hear what you're saying. I can hear what you're saying. I think what have kind of fucked them up, and maybe not even, because I do feel like a couple generations have passed. You know what I mean? Because if I even think, and we'll talk for a quick bit, maybe even talk about this T.I.G.Z. shit, but quite a few generations have passed for both of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, because what was Speaker Box Love Below, what was that, like 05 maybe, or maybe 03 or something?
So
it's been almost 20 years since they last shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now obviously fans are gonna be fans, you know what I mean? It's been forever since Gladys and Patty dropped some shit, so fans are gonna show up. My thing was, maybe some of the Outkast shit will benefit from, I don't want to say recency bias, but it's been a little more recent that you've heard Bombs Over Baghdad or Sorry Miss Jackson than the last time that you've heard Award Tour or Scenario or whatever the fuck. It would just be interesting because I do feel like there is a definite inspiration there. You know what I mean? I do feel like Outkast, and I think they've even said it on record, I think Andre 3000, if not mistaken, and I don't want to I'm assuming, I don't even want to attribute it to anybody, but from what I see, you could see there's a little bit of, you know, if anything, sensibility wise, there's some inspiration from, you know, Tribe Called Quest to Outkast. Now Outkast got some motherfucking hits,
right?
But Tribe got some fucking hits too, and I think they both, Outkast probably got way more. Like if I would have to look at both of their discographies, and I'm a big fan of both, but I guess as I've been getting older, I've been less and less quick to recall everybody's hits off of these shits. Like, you know, I'll be watching some of these fucking, these verses and be like, oh shit, I totally forgot about that Blase skip. But I think what made both of those groups really dope was not only did they have hits, but they gave you great records. So like, there'll be a record that's not a single that it hit just as hard or resonate just as hard as a single. You know what I'm saying? So it would be really interesting. And obviously, I think I would say I would have to look at it, because I'm thinking like, what's this? Midnight Marauders, Love, Low End Theory.
Yeah, People's Instinctive Travels, Low End Theory. You had People's Instinctive Travels. Right. Low End Theories, Midnight Marauders,
Love Below.
Then you have your Beats, Beats, Rhyme, and Life.
The Love Movement. Beats, Rhymes, movement. And Life. The Love Movement. Is that? Oh, and then this most recent one. What's the name of that shit? For the People.
We Got It From Here.
We Got It From Here. So now Outkast got what? Southern Playlist.
Southern Playlist.
ATLians. Aquemini. Stankonia.
Speakerbox,
Love Below, and then Idlewild. If you wanna, yeah, but that's about it. You know, but I heard somebody recently say they liked Idlewild.
Idlewild did have some joints, but you know, what I'm saying, it's very conceptual. Right. You know, so
what else? Are we missing anything?
No, that's it. That's it. But see, the thing about it, well, this is my only take is I love both groups. You know, what I'm saying, they both have a similar vibe. Outkast has the benefit of coming out at a time in the music industry where the music industry was at a higher place. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Where it was more records being sold. It was more, you know what I'm saying? It was vinyl and cassettes turning over the CDs all the way. You know what I'm saying? So it's still a lot of hand-to-hand buying of records. Like, Tribe, they came out at a time where hip hop was still growing, you know what I mean? And so it was still building. So Outkast has the advantage of having a diamond album, multi platinum albums, you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure how many platinum joints Tribe produced out of this group, you know what I'm saying? But it's like Outkast really benefited from the marketability of hip hop at a time when they were out. So, that's just what gives them more hits and more the distinctive advantage. And then the legend of Andre 3000 still hovers above, you know what I'm saying? The way he managed his career and managed his brand, his own brand, you know what I'm saying?
Like a Bigfoot. He's like the Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle. So that gives them that little thing. And then, you know, that's it. Other than that, it's equally, they're equally yoked.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then in 20 songs, all is fair.
Absolutely. I would also say I would counter that point with, to that point, I agree with the fact that they definitely benefited by, you know, the boom of hip hop and their sound being so broad, right? But at the same time, I would kind of argue that as rooted as Tribe is in the culture, you know what I'm saying? Like in hip hop culture, in Afrocentric culture, they were also seems like one of the first crossover groups. Like it's almost like a joke in the way of like when white people like really got into hip hop, Tribe was kind of one of those, you know what I mean? One of those groups that they always cite. Oh, I was a big Tribe Called Quest fan. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, maybe it wasn't being, you know, maybe it wasn't selling the units, but it was penetrating. It was going outside just the hood. And it didn't dilute their brand in any way. It wasn't as though they were out there You know what I'm saying? Reaching for that shit, but they would definitely align with broader, you know, going on tour with the Beastie Boys or, you know what I'm saying? Or like, you know, other shit, you know, Q-Tip doing movies and, you know, whatever, whatever. Like, you know, the way that the music just kind of, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I'm looking at their stuff, you know what I'm saying? And they weren't no punk. Shit, they always went gold or platinum. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? First record went gold. The three main ones was platinum. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The low end, Midnight Marauders, and Beats Rhyming Life. And then the last two was gold. So, you know, that ain't no punk.
What would you kick off for your first record if you were Outkast? What would you play first?
Outkast, shit, you might as well just come with Southern Playlistic. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I mean, doom, you know what I'm saying? Just come on with it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Might as well come on with it. I mean,
what about Tribe? What would your first Tribe record be?
Tribe, shit. While I did like the first album, I love the first album, you know what I'm saying? I would probably come with something off of low the end. Other, Low End Theory. Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? Shit, if you know me, I come with the motherfucking, I'm on the world tour with my
man. I was about to say, yeah. Oh, well, there you go. All right. I can dig it. I hear that shit. There you go. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, man.
So, nah, but that'll be a good one. Now, you know what I'm saying? Jeezy T.I., that's an equally yoked situation. I hear Jeezy saying that, you know, he wanted he offered it to Gucci. Right. Gucci respectfully declined. Right. I mean, he probably needed to. Nobody wants to see a fight in the verses. It's supposed to be love.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of tension.
You know what I'm saying? I'm sure they can't really muster up much love. So. Right. You know what I'm saying? So Jeezy and T.I., why they probably had their little thing during their heyday, that I think both of them grown man enough to kind of, you know, to set that, you know, and move it into a positive direction.
Jeezy and T.I. had a little something?
Yeah. I think Jeezy and T.I. had a little back and forth right quick. You know what I'm saying? When it was a little bit about who was the king, shit like that.
I never really caught that.
Hold on. I mean, it was light. Ross, it was light.
I know Jeezy and Gucci. I know T.I. and Luda. And
I might have it wrong, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't remember them Jeezy and T.I. having a problem.
Yeah, nah. T.I. and Jeezy discussed squashing their... Oh, no, that's with Gucci, man.
Okay, yeah, they were talking about...
Alley Boy.
Yeah.
I just vaguely remember, right. You know what I'm saying, them having a little back and forth when Jeezy was... coming up hot and T.I. was still, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Trying to be the king, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, yeah, you know, yeah. I'm not sure. I could have it wrong because I don't have no details in my head.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows the Gucci and Jeezy beef because that ended in some real shit.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I think initially... when I first heard T.I. versus Jeezy, I said T.I. was going to take that, right? And then that I think about it, what it kind of resembles, and the reason I said that is because I thought that T.I.'s catalog is a lot more expansive. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He could go big hits, he could go trap, you know what I mean? He could go mixtape shit, you know what I mean? Like he got a lot more angles than Jeezy, right? But then it kind of, as I've thought about it, kind of somewhat mirrors Fab versus Jada in the way that Fab has a lot of big records, a lot of like more like mainstream, like, you know, party records, a lot of like records that appeal to women, a lot of records that, you know what I'm saying, got more of an R&B sensibility, but then he could spit. Whereas Jada got a little bit of that too, but Jada, like, he's bars. You know what I'm saying? He can go hard. Like, and with that battle, Jada kind of kicked it off and controlled the narrative. He kept it in a certain, he set a tone. Mm-hmm. Whereas, and then kind of T.I.'s kind of spoken to that in a way. He was like, I would like to do two battles because I might not even use none of the pop shit, none of the blurred lines type of shit. I might just go no further than Urban Legend and just kind of keep it, you know, gritty against Jeezy. Because if Jeezy was resonating when Jeezy was resonating. So if
and he Jeezy had all them mixtapes too.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Which is very interesting because both of them, you know, it was drum. You know what I mean? Right. But it'll be interesting. Like if Jeezy play, if he stick to the to that, you know, quality street music type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like that corporate thug shit. You know what I'm saying? It might, if T.I. play a Live Your Life, it might not be as well received if Jeezy's playing some old raw shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. But who knows?
I know
be,
on Verses, though, it don't matter. That shit, on Verses, the people gonna go with whatever they know. Like, oh, shit. Oh, they came with the shit.
That's true.
Who was
that's
that?
True.
I forget who it was. Who was DMX battle who?
Snoop.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was one of them battles where somebody was playing they little more underground shit, and then somebody came with their mainstream shit, and they were like, ah! So, you know. Some people don't even, they disregard whatever the other person's doing and just go their own way. But, you know, the beauty of Verses is that, you know, the people going to go with whatever they like at the moment, at the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's just it. So it's bring your 20 and put them up on my 20 and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And speaking of Gucci, man, I will say this. I don't know enough. About I can't think of 20 records from Gucci, but that's
man,
that's
Gucci
because,
got,
huh? I'm not Gucci that familiar records. With his catalog. You said what?
Gucci got records, man. It's records that a lot of times they might not be big hits, but you be like, damn, I heard that before, and it, you know what I'm saying? That's it. And the nigga has influenced and touched. Most of these rappers that's out here now are all, you know what I'm saying?
Offspring,
Gucci disciples, or from the Gucci Mane family. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like his influence is so large. He remind me of like a, you know, he like a blues singer or some shit that just do his shit in his own lane, and then all everybody take little bits and pieces of it, and they make a whole new genre from it.
Right.
That's how Gucci is.
No, I believe you on that. But my point is too. What I wanted to say is, I don't know a lot about it, so. If you listen to this podcast, because for a while I've been saying this, and I might have said this before to people before, not on the pod, but if there are some go-to Gucci Mane records, put me on. Obviously, I know a lot of the obvious shit, but, like, give me some, like, if you fuck with Gucci, if you are a Gucci Mane fan and you listen to this pod, hit me. You know what I mean? At me, tell me what shit am I sleeping on? What records I need to listen to? What mixtapes I need to fuck to? Fuck pause. Fuck with. Just so I can get the. I like to fuck to that. Like, if you trying to. But anyway, no. What should I listen to? Because on the other side of things, I will say this. I'm not the, you know, again, I'm not like as abreast of his catalog like that. But as far as his fucking, his book catalog, he's 2 for 2. I don't listen. I read the memoir, Gucci.
Oh, yeah,
Gucci.
Yeah.
I read the memoir, and I read his most recent little book, his business shit.
Right.
That shit good, too, man. Gucci, right. Gucci's carving a fucking lane for himself out there.
And the man, he got them kind of records where it's like 3-6 Mafia. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to know the name on him, but if you sit back and just listen to the shit, you be like, God damn, this nigga, okay, this nigga saying some slick shit. He got some nice beats. He got great taste in music. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and you could hear how, oh, this where they got this from. Oh, that's where they got that from. Okay. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Even though I feel like Gucci is a lot inspired by, like, Project Pat. You know what I'm saying? He has taken and made his own conglomerate from it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I think Memphis really inspired a lot of that Atlanta crunk and trap. You know what I'm saying? Now, I know people might, you know, get mad that I'm saying that, but they were the ones tearing the club up and doing that type of aggressive ass shit. And that Lil Jon kind of jumped into, and that whole little movement kind of splintered off from, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's all. It's in the way, like just like with Gucci, like you just sit there and just listen to it. Cause it's not in the way. It's not like it's trying to be pop. It's not trying to be this. It's not trying to be that. It's its own little thing. And you just, once you put your mindset, your mind frame inside of what it is, it's like, okay, I could dig it. It's like this weekend, not that I discovered him, cause I heard a nigga before, but I was like, you know, but I heard him with, you know what I'm saying, Young Dolph. I just now just like, let me listen to Key Glock by himself. You know what I'm saying? And Key Glock is the same way. He got his own little style, his own little shit that he do. He's very influenced by Project Pat and all the other Memphis rappers. He is a Memphis rapper. But he's like that guy, like, you could tell he a Memphis rapper. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you have a local rapper that's the shit that ain't the biggest artist in the world, but in his town, in his place, oh, yeah, he the shit. That nigga's that shit, and he popping shit like he believe it. Key Glock, he be popping his little shit. He don't have a lot of depth or a lot of levels, but for a young nigga that's 21 years old, he popping his shit. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to check him out.
Shout out to him. He got that upstart energy.
Go ahead. He got that what? That upstart energy?
Yeah.
That urgency? Yeah. No, I hear you. Speaking of that type of energy, I was just talking to somebody last night about early Nori. Nori had a lot of that energy. Like Nori, you know, like just the way he used to come on a track, like he set some shit off, the energy that he would bring to it. Cause lyrically, he would be on tracks with niggas like Nas, who were like, you know, like super duper lyrical, but he would hold his own. You know what I mean? That nigga's on Band from TV, holding his own. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and it's just, it's what he brought to the track. You know, but shout out to my man Rick over there. He does the Popular Nobodies podcast. He's been campaigning for a while for me to really, and he's not the only person, but particularly he's been really campaigning hard for me to get into Kevin Gates. Now, I've been hearing a lot about Kevin Gates for a while, and I'm gonna check it out, man. I'm always trying to keep the ear open. I heard he's a beast lyrically. Whatever. I've seen some of his interviews. I see he's a very intense individual, but I'm gonna check it out. So if any of y'all fuck with Kevin Gates beyond my man Rick, and y'all got some select records, let me know. And same with you, Muhammad. Let me know what the Key Glock record is to listen to.
Yeah.
We'll go from there. But shit, you got anything else before we
transform? Man, that's it, man. I think we did that.
Shit, man. Until next time, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Conversation.